New week, whole new show. I want to get it right in right now with Ray Carcello. He's the review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly, EGMNow.com, and RayCarcello.com. He joins us pretty much every week on the Sean Green Show. Let us know what's happening in the latest in the video gaming world. Hey, what's going on, buddy?
How much, Sean? How you doing, dude?
Hey, I'm doing all right. So, all right, right off the bat, all right, there are a couple of games that are being delayed. Uncharted 4, Legends of Zelda for the Wii U, Quantum Break, and Homefront Revolution. All these games are being delayed until 2016. Why is there a delay in these games? Because I know people are awaiting these games. I had a couple friends, they really were looking forward to Homefront, so they're kind of ticked off about it. What's the reason behind this delay?
Well, there's a lot of things that can go into a delay. I think part of the reason why you're seeing such a huge slew of them recently, though, is because of the backlash that happened in the fourth quarter of last year, where there was a lot of games that kind of got shipped, and they kind of weren't in what we would call a complete state. There needed to be a lot of day one patches, a lot of big day one patches, and even then there was a lot of glitches, a lot of server issues. There was a lot of things that still needed to be tested. So I think part of the reason is that some companies, especially ones who are doing Crytek was doing Homefront and whatnot, what actually now is Deep Silver. They also don't necessarily have all the resources that somebody may, like an EA may have or an Activision may have. So they want to make sure that they can utilize the resources they do have to the best of their abilities, to their fullest extent, and make sure that they don't rush something that then hits the market and ends up being, people end up hating it because they rushed it to try and reach a 2015 release date when they know, especially now because video games have become such a year-long pastime, it's not just the holiday rush anymore, They know they can release in the middle of summer and still get a huge turnout, a huge audience, and be fine, and then better off delaying the game 6 months and putting it out there complete than putting it out there glitchy as hell.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that because, certain games like the Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty all have had their share of glitches, especially Call of Duty. And I'm an avid player of that particular that franchise. And, companies like Treyarch and, the rest of them, can they learn something from delaying a release instead of, just rushing it out? Because I will say the last Call of Duty that came out, Advanced Warfare, and they had their glitches, that kind of turned me off a lot. So is it pretty much at the discretion of the company when they decide, okay, we're going to hold this back for a minute?
Yeah, it really comes down to the publisher. So it would come down to, I guarantee you Treyarch would love extra time to work on the next Call of Duty, but it comes down to Activision whether or not they get that time. And that's the same thing with, the Master Chief Collection, the last Call of Duty, last Assassin's Creed, it all comes down to the publishers. Some ways that are trying to mitigate that, Call of Duty obviously adding Sledgehammer to the rotation, this way developers have 3 years now instead of two to put out the title for Call of Duty. Assassin's Creed has, this will be the first year that Ubisoft Quebec and not Ubisoft Montreal is making the main Assassin's Creed. So they're trying to, expand their workforce, put more people into each game, working on it for a longer period of time, so that this way they can hopefully still be an annual title, but they won't have to worry about putting out a subpar product. Now, of course, Assassin's Creed Unity fell apart a lot of stuff because that game was kind of rushed, and that was something where they started planning it before the new generation of consoles came out, so it was really still like a learning phase for them in terms of new generation hardware. You can say that kind of same thing with Call of Duty a little bit, that last year was still probably the last time you could give them the excuse that, a lot of these guys weren't familiar as much with the new gen hardware and didn't have as much time with it. But at this point, if that happens again, there's no excuses. There's really no excuse why anybody would not be familiar with the hardware at this point, not be familiar with their own engine that they make for the particular hardware. And they should have, like I said, they bolstered their forces in the hopes of being able to still be annual and still put out a quality product. And if they don't do it from now on, the backlash, because the backlash was bad a few months ago, the backlash it'll be even worse if it happens again.
Yeah, yeah. Now, one thing I definitely want to talk about was the Nintendo Direct announcements. So, can you give me a little background on what Nintendo Direct is?
Sure. So, Nintendo Direct is basically where Nintendo, Nintendo of Japan, the parent company Nintendo, talks to their public, their adoring fans, directly. They basically put out about a 45 to 50 minute video where it's hosted by guys like Bill Trinian, Satoru Iwata, you know, the really high up guys at Nintendo, Shigeru Miyamoto, you know, all those guys. They will take little bits and pieces and they'll talk about upcoming Nintendo games as a way to not only kind of build up hype for what's coming out from Nintendo, but also this way you get it right from source, you know, exactly what's going on. And Nintendo will basically, you know, they'll tell you what, as always, they'll tell you what they want to tell you, and they're going to keep a lot of stuff secret. So that's basically what Nintendo Direct is. It's a way for Nintendo to directly communicate with their fan base via YouTube and Twitch and other streaming media.
Right. And what do you think about the next wave of Amiibos that were announced?
Oh, the Amiibos. You know, it's half brilliant by Nintendo, but it's also half insane because it's great that they're putting out more of these Amiibos, and obviously people are loving them. They've become a huge collector's item. The problem is that Nintendo, they're not putting out enough supply. The demand is much, much higher than the supply right now, which is good in a way because it's kind of driving up the market value. You know, so it's like it becomes like black market now on eBay for Amiibos, you know, and Amazon and other places where you can kind of sell your goods or sell goods on the side, and basically you can get 2, 3, 4 times what they're worth from collectors. So, I mean, it's good because people want them, but it's bad because Nintendo, no matter what they're putting out, they can't seem to keep up with the demand of them. I guess they weren't anticipating it to be so popular. If they don't get the supply up soon, like I know a lot of people who are now getting turned off to Amiibo because what you get for it really isn't worth the hassle of going and spending, going to a midnight launch at GameStop to try and just get a $10 figurine. That really gives you very, very little extra gameplay for your games. So I know a lot of folks are getting turned off by it because you're getting these ridiculous lines of people trying to rush these stores to try and get this limited supply of action figures. And then Nintendo's basically said they're not going to print out more of them. Certain ones, like the Fire Emblem ones and whatnot, they're basically limited run, and that's it. Maybe you'll get them sometime down the line, but, like, it's kind of ridiculous what they've done with this. It's a brand new market. It's exciting. It's exciting that what they're doing, but at the same time, they're botching it at every possible turn.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. So, all right, one thing I definitely want to ask you about was Lucas. Now, what's the play style of Lucas?
Yeah, so Lucas, of course, was a surprise DLC announcement for Smash Brothers. Lucas is basically he's a NES clone. He was released. He was a character in Mother 3, which is a game that never ended up making it to the States. Basically, it's the sequel to Earthbound, which did make it to the States, and that's where NES is from. But because there's a lot of Japanese imports, Lucas ended up having a strong enough following all around, both here in the States and, of course, in Japan, that they made him a character. He's basically a NES clone that he's a little slower, but he's got better range and better power. So it's kind of a trade-off, depending on on your play style. Kind of like how Wolf was from Star Fox, where you get Fox, Falco, and Wolf. They all kind of have the same powers and the same moves, but one can be faster, one has better jumping ability, one's a little stronger. So it's really kind of more caters to your play style with those characters. I think that surprisingly, Nintendo actually listened to their fans. Lucas was probably the number one character besides Mewtwo that people wanted to put in to Smash Brothers, and when Nintendo said Mewtwo was going to be the only DLC, people were legitimately shocked. So this is actually Nintendo for actually listening to people, because Nintendo usually doesn't do DLC, but they're doing not only Mewtwo and Lucas as DLC characters, but they put up an open vote on the Smash Brothers website saying, tell us who you want the third DLC character to be, and we'll make it. I personally voted, I put in Simon Belmont from the Castlevania series. That's a character that's never been done in the Smash Bros. Series, but I think that when you have Mega Man and Pac-Man and Snake and Sonic and all these other characters from other franchises that have jumped into Smash Bros., other non-Nintendo-owned properties, I think that I think Simon Belmont from Castlevania would be a really interesting character personally.
All right, cool. One thing I definitely want to ask you about too, kind of geek it out with you a little bit. Marvel Comics in the upcoming Secret Wars. They'll begin the story arc of Secret Wars in May of 2015 this year. Secret Wars was originally done back in the 80s, mid-80s. Is this a rehashing of the 84 Secret Wars, or will this be totally different?
So this is going to be something completely different. If anything, it's actually very similar to what DC Comics did in the 80s with Crisis on Infinite Earths. Basically, what Secret Wars is doing this time around is Marvel is destroying all their alternate universes. So it's just going to be the Earth 616 universe, and what's going to happen is that characters who were killed off in Earth 616 now might be replaced by characters who were in the Ultimate Universe or the 2099 Universe or various other universes from around Marvel Comics that have been introduced over the years. And what they're going to do is they're going to streamline everything and kind of funnel it in through the Secret Wars event into one continuity. So it's how you're going to probably have Miles Morales kind of somehow brought into the mainline Marvel Universe, but this will be introduced in the movies at some point. If he's introduced in the movies, it'll make sense for a lot of folks. It's how they're going to bring Wolverine back. It's how they're going to bring back a lot of these characters who they had, quote-unquote, killed off, and it gives them kind of a loophole to bring them back in just one big event.
Now, you mentioned the movies a little bit. Is this basically attempt to get them all into the movies and actually, in a sense, familiarize people that's not really into comics to get into these lesser-known characters?
I think partially. I definitely think it's going to help the popularity of characters that people may not be as familiar with. I definitely think it's going to be it's a way to kind of help make the comics a little more relevant again. Obviously, a big event like this doesn't come around too often. There's a lot of events, but nothing this big. And I think what they're trying to do is, they're also trying to not only bolster their audience and inform them in preparation for the movies, but I think they're trying to bolster their base comic book audience again because, people have been, they're trying to bring in that casual, I think it's also kind of happening in reverse, but they're trying to bring that casual movie audience into the comic book set because there hasn't really been that go-between as much as they expected. Like, a lot of people will go see Amazing Spider-Man, but they're not going and buying Amazing Spider-Man comics. So what they're hoping is that this will help re-bolster and re-energize the comic book fan base that's kind of been dwindling over the past few years.
Oh, wow, wow. Well, I hope that works out for them because I'm a big, I'm a Marvel fan, and I just want them to keep cranking out all this good material because Marvel's on a really really long and really profitable ride, and I'm enjoying it as a consumer, so I'm really enjoying what they're doing. Anything new that's going on at RayCarcillo.com that we should know about?
Let me think. What did I just review? I just reviewed Box Boy from HAL Laboratory for Nintendo 3DS. I'm trying to think. What else? Oh, I just did a video preview of Assassin's Creed Chronicles, which is a downloadable, a new side-scrolling 2.5D downloadable Assassin's Creed game that's being done by a small studio in England called Climax Studios. That game is coming out at the end of April. I did a video hands-on preview for that a couple of weeks ago. So that's something that people should definitely check out. I think those are, in terms of the review preview front, those are definitely the things that people should keep an eye out for.
All right, cool. And there you have it. Ray Carcillo, review editor at Electronic Gaming Monthly. And you know what? You've been so cool. And I just like you joining the Sean Green Show every time you're on. You always give us a lot of information, and I appreciate you for that. Make sure you check out Ray Carcillo on Twitter, too. It's at Ray Carcillo. Also, RayCarcillo.com and EGMNow.com. So make sure you guys check that out. Ray Carcillo, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Sean, I appreciate you having me on every week. I love doing it. So all right. I'm happy to be part of the show.
All right, cool. Thanks. And we'll be back right after this.